Wonderland. Let's see, this is part 7. We're getting there. This one's called Rose. Rose's feet felt like cement as she trudged up the street toward her house. What was the matter with her leaving Mavis alone in the woods like that? Why was she being such a scaredy cat? When she got home, she lifted her cement feet up the stairs to her room. Clomp, clomp, clomp. Then she sat on her canopy bed and felt so heavy with shame that she was surprised she didn't sink right through the mattress into the floor. Mavis was out there in the woods looking for Henry so that things would get better for Mr. Duffy. Mavis knew how important Mr. Duffy was to her. She was trying to make things better. But here Rose sat, feeling so heavy, acting like the baby that Amanda seemed to think she was. Rose got up and went to her dresser. She opened the pink jewelry box with Rose engraved in silver letters on the top. Nestled inside among the beaded necklaces and sparkly bracelets was Grace's silver dollar. Rose held it in the palm of her hand and heard Grace say, "Just go for it, Rosie." So she slipped the silver dollar into a pocket of her shorts and ran downstairs, out the door and down the driveway and up the street to Amanda's house. Then she kept running along the wrought iron fence and into the woods, calling Mavis's name. Mavis. Mavis couldn't believe it when she heard Rose calling her. She stopped thromping through the woods and waited. Sure enough, Rose came bursting through the tangled brush. When she caught her breath, she said, "Hey." Mavis grinned, "Hey." Then Rose trudged right past Mavis, leading the way through the woods and calling for Henry. As Mavis followed Rose, she felt like she was floating, like her feet weren't even touching the leaf-covered ground or jumping over rotting branches. Rose hadn't left her alone to carry out her plan by herself. Rose was marching deeper into the woods, even though she wasn't allowed to be there. Rose was being a very good best friend. Mavis was so lost in her thoughts that she nearly jumped clean out of her sneakers when a thin white dog stepped out of a cluster of rhododendrons and stopped right in front of her and Rose. "Henry!" She recognized that long, thin nose, those brown ears, that big brown spot on his side shaped like a map of Texas. "Hey, fella!" Mavis whispered. Henry wagged his tail. He was dirty as all get out, with dark brown cockleburrows stuck here and there in his fur. "He's so skinny," Rose whispered. Mavis took a step toward him. "It's okay, fella. I won't hurt you." Henry backed up a little bit, wagging his tail. Mavis took another step. Wag, wag. Another step. Wag, wag. Finally, Mavis was close enough to touch him. She reached out very slowly and put her hand on Henry's side, stroking him gently on the map of Texas. Next, she stroked his head and rubbed gently between his ears. Then Mavis noticed something peculiar. "Rose, check this out." Henry had numbers on the underside of his ear. Numbers tattooed on his velvet ears. Actually, one ear had 3 numbers and a letter, 117E. The other ear had 5 numbers, 51549. What in the world could that mean? Why would a dog have numbers on his ears? Mavis had never seen anything like it. Rose took a few careful steps closer and peered down at Henry's ears. Then she looked at Mavis with wide eyes. "Why does he have these numbers?" Rose shook her head. "I don't know, but I think he's a greyhound." Mavis cocked her head and looked at Henry. "You think so?" Rose nodded. Henry nudged Mavis's hand with his long, skinny nose. "We should have brought some treats," Mavis said. "I'm going to try to get him to come with us." And then she reached for Henry with both hands. But quick as lightning, he jerked away and took off running. And in a blink, he was gone. Henry was feeling miserable. He was tired of hiding in the woods. Prickers grabbed at his skin, and roots made him stumble, and wet leaves made for a cold bed at night. His bad hip ached, slowing him down and making him limp. He was hungry. The freckled girl didn't come to the fence as often as she used to, so the little plastic bowl was usually empty. And then there were those two girls, the quiet one and the wild hair one. Henry didn't know what to think about them. Maybe he shouldn't have run away from Wonderland after all. There was always food there, and a warm, dry bed. But something was different at Wonderland, something that did not feel right to Henry. Rose. Rose and Mavis sat on the log in the lot across the street. The morning dew still clung to the Queen Anne's lace at the edge of the woods. It was early, but already the midsummer sun beat down, making the air thick with heat. Mavis was determined to catch Henry and take him to Mr. Duffy today. She was showing Rose how good she was at tying a slipknot in a piece of rope she had found in the garage. She explained how they could use it as a leash, and everything was going to be so easy. Rose was glad her mother was getting her hair done and then meeting some ladies for lunch. If she saw Rose coming out of the woods with a dog, she would have a hissy fit. "Let's go get some chicken or something from your kitchen." "What for?" "For Henry, so we can coax him out of wherever he's hiding." "Oh." Rose knew Mavis wanted her to be excited, and she was trying. She really was. She reached into her pocket and curled her fingers around Grace's silver dollar. Grace would have been so proud of her running into the woods after Mavis like she had. And hadn't Mavis been surprised? Rose could still see the grin on her face. Rose took a deep breath and said, "Okay, let's go." And off she went up the side of the street with Mavis hollering, "Hey, wait for me." When they got to the back door, Mavis said, "Hopefully Mama's not in the kitchen, but if she is, let me handle it, okay?" Rose gladly said, "Okay." Mavis opened the kitchen door and opened the kitchen door a crack and peeked in. "She's not here," she whispered. "Come on." The two of them tiptoed across the kitchen floor to the refrigerator. Mavis began to root around inside. "Roast beef," she said, "and look at these." She showed Rose a plate of tiny quiches, like the ones Mrs. Tully often served when company came in the afternoon. Before Rose had a chance to tell Mavis she didn't think they should take those, Mavis had already dropped four of them into the plastic bag with the slices of roast beef. "What's this?" Mavis pointed to something beside the plate of quiches. Rose wrinkled her nose. "Liver pâté," she said. "It's nasty." "Perfect," Mavis said, and dropped it into the plastic bag. "Mavis!" Rose and Mavis jumped. Mavis's mother stood in the doorway to the dining room with her hands on her hips. And then Mavis did the most amazing thing. Before she turned around to face her mother, she stuffed the plastic bag into the waist of her shorts and pulled her t-shirt down over it. "Rose was hungry," Mavis said. "Right, Rose?" She poked Rose with her elbow. Rose nodded, her face burning. Why was she so bad at lying? She'd give anything to be as good a liar as Mavis was. Miss Jeter narrowed her eyes and marched over to the refrigerator. "Then y'all get some string cheese and something and get out of here. I got sheets to change upstairs." Rose knew how much it annoyed Miss Jeter to have to change the sheets so often. She had heard her grumbling under her breath that the Queen of England probably didn't have her sheets changed that often. So Rose knew that now was not a good time to be stealing food from the refrigerator. But of course, Mavis didn't care how annoying her mother was. She was bound and determined to carry out her plan to catch Henry today no matter what. "What about this?" Mavis held up a small plate of tomato aspic left over from last night's supper. Rose wanted to tell her that Henry probably wouldn't like tomato aspic, but Mavis's mother said, "Fine, now take it and go." Then, before Rose could tell Mavis that they at least needed forks for tomato aspic, Mavis was hurrying out the back door, calling, "Come on, Rose!" Mavis. Mavis explained her perfect plan to Rose. They would go on back into the woods behind Amanda's house. They'd scattered the food around to lure Henry out of hiding. Then they'd use this rope for a leash and take Henry up to the gatehouse. Mr. Duffy would be so surprised, he would fall in love with Henry in no time flat. Rose nodded. Mavis put one of the tiny quiches beside a pine tree. She put a slice of roast beef on a moss-covered log, and she put some of the liver pâté by a clump of ferns. She should save the rest in case she needed more. She motioned for Rose to come sit beside her in the damp leaves along the path. Then they waited and waited and waited. Just when Mavis was going to suggest that they go to another spot, a dog's long, thin, white nose appeared from behind a shrub. The nose was sniffing. Next, a dog's brown and white head appeared. Henry's head. He looked at Rose and Mavis. His nose kept sniffing. He hurried to the moss-covered log and gobbled up the roast beef. Then the liver pâté by the ferns. Then the quiche beside the pine tree. And then he walked right up to Rose and Mavis and sat down. "Hey, Henry," Mavis said softly. She ran her hand gently over the top of his head. "Look what I have." She opened the plastic bag in her lap and showed Henry the food inside. Then she took out another one of those quiches and held it in the palm of her hand. Henry snatched it off and swallowed it in one big gulp. Then Mavis made her move. She dropped the rope with the perfect slipknot over his head. Henry flinched and then pulled, causing the rope to tighten. At first, he looked so scared that Mavis felt bad. She quietly began to comfort him, telling him what a good boy he was and rubbing his side. And then she gave him a piece of roast beef and was glad to see that he looked calmer. He stopped pulling on the rope and sat between Rose and Mavis and ate the rest of the roast beef and even the tomato aspic right out of the plastic bag. After the food was gone, he laid down and put his head on his paws and let out a doggy sigh. "Aw, he's so sweet," Rose said. "I know," Mavis grinned at Rose. "We did it." Then they did their special handshake, slapping, snapping, and fist bumping. "Come on," Mavis said. "Let's take him to Mr. Duffy." Rose. It was true that Rose had done the special handshake when they caught Henry, but deep down inside she had been hoping that Mavis's plan wouldn't work. She knew that wasn't very nice, but it was true. And just the thought made Grace's silver dollar grow heavy in her pocket. Why couldn't she be happy that they finally caught Henry? But Rose being Rose, she couldn't stop her worrying thoughts from creeping in and planting questions, like how in the world could they get Henry out of the woods and up to the gatehouse without somebody seeing them? And what if that somebody was nosy Amanda? Even worse, what if that somebody was her mother? So even while she was slapping and snapping and fist bumping with Mavis, Rose was feeling a little sorry that the plan had worked. But here she was, running along behind Mavis and Henry, hoping and praying that nobody saw them. As they ran beside Amanda's wrought iron fence, Rose kept her eyes on the ground, not daring to look up and see Amanda staring in her yard. Then, as they ran up to the edge of the road, Rose's heart nearly thumped clean out of her chest while she said a little prayer that her mother's shiny black car would not appear. But beside her thumping heart, Rose had a little niggle, a niggle about Henry. There was something about Henry that was bothering her, something that she thought she should maybe tell Mavis about. When they reached the gatehouse, Rose said, Mavis. But Mavis opened the screen door and said, "Okay, cross your fingers. Here we go." When Mavis stepped through the door with Henry, Rose hollered, "Wait, I think..." But Mavis and Henry had already disappeared inside. Rose crossed her fingers and stepped inside beside them. Henry had made a big mistake. He shouldn't have ignored that. He should have ignored that delicious food and stayed hidden in the bushes. He never should have trusted this wild-haired girl. He should have run away from that wrought iron fence when the freckle girl lived. He should have run farther away from Wonderland, but he hadn't. Now, here he was inside a small building with a gray-haired man who looked quite surprised. Mavis. Ta-da! Mavis said, sweeping her arm out toward Henry. What in the name of sweet Bessie McGee is that? Mr. Duffy stared at Henry. Mavis grinned. A dog, she said. A really sweet dog who needs a home. Right, Rose? Rose looked from Mr. Duffy to Henry and back to Mr. Duffy. Right. I know he's kind of funny looking, Mavis said. So skinny, but he's nice. Where in tarnation did you find that mongrel? Mr. Duffy walked slowly around the gatehouse, inspecting Henry from a distance. Henry sat beside Mavis, watching Mr. Duffy, looking kind of pitiful. In the woods, Mavis said. He's been there for a long time. That's why he's so skinny. He needs a home, right, Rose? Rose nodded. And he has tattoos on his ears, Mavis said. I bet you've never seen that before. Mr. Duffy raised his eyebrows. Tattoos? Yeah, look. Mavis flipped Henry's ears over and showed Mr. Duffy the tattoos. 117E. 515-49. Mr. Duffy squinted down at Henry's ears, and then he straightened up, took his cap off, scratched the top of his head, and said, "That dog's from Wonderland." Wonderland, Mavis said. Yep, Mr. Duffy put his cap back on and nodded toward Henry. That dog's from Wonderland, or my name ain't Duffy. What's Wonderland, Mavis asked. But Rose knew what Wonderland was, which is why she had that little niggle about Henry. Mr. Duffy jerked his head toward the door. Dog track up yonder on the other side of the highway. What's a dog track, Mavis said. But Rose knew what a dog track was. Rose knew because her uncle AJ went there and wasted his hard-earned money. At least that's what Rose's mother always said. It's humiliating to know that my own brother goes to a dog track and wastes his hard-earned money, she often snapped when Uncle AJ came over. Mr. Duffy explained Wonderland to Mavis, how the dogs raced around the track chasing a stuffed rabbit on a pole, and how people went to Wonderland to watch the dogs race and to bet money on them, and how Henry must have run away from Wonderland and how he would have to go back. Mavis's face fell. But how do you know he came from there? It's as plain as the tail on a rattler, Mr. Duffy said. He's a greyhound for one thing, and those ear tattoos for another. Sure sign of a racer. What do they mean? Mavis rubbed the numbers on Henry's ears. I'm not exactly sure, but I've seen plenty of them. Mr. Duffy went over to his desk and dropped into his chair with a groan. I tossed away more than a few dollars at the track back when I was young and dumb. You did? Mavis said. Mr. Duffy nodded. I sure did. And Edna, sweet as pecan pie Edna, she'd get mad as all get out. Wouldn't say pea turkey squat to me for days. Mavis kissed Henry on his nose. He must have liked being kissed because he snuggled against her shoulder and licked her on the cheek. Aren't you going to keep him? Mavis asked. Mr. Duffy shook his head. That dog's not mine to keep, he said. He's going to go back to where he came from. And that was that. Mr. Duffy called Wonderland to come and get Henry. Mavis couldn't believe her plan hadn't worked. She had been so sure everything was going to turn out so great, but it hadn't. So, here she was, sitting outside the gatehouse with Rose, waiting on someone from Wonderland to come and pick up Henry. I wonder if he wins a lot of races, Rose said, patting the top of Henry's head. I bet he does. Suddenly, Mavis snapped her fingers. Hey, we should go there sometime. Where? To Wonderland. Rose shook her head. My mother doesn't approve of Wonderland. My Uncle AJ does, though, and lost a lot of money. We would go to watch something. We wouldn't even have to tell anybody. It could be like our first Best Friends Club field trip. Rose got that worried look that Mavis knew well. Forget it then, Mavis said. I'll go by myself. Rose didn't answer, so Mavis said it again. I'll go by myself. Then just as Mavis was starting to get irritated, a white van pulled up to the gatehouse. Paint on the side in black letters was Wonderland Greyhound Park, Palmetto Road, Landry, Alabama. A bald-headed man wearing a red Wonderland t-shirt got out of the van. Over the pocket of his shirt was the name Roger. Well, you little devil, he said to Henry. We've been looking all over for you. Henry put his tail between his legs and hung his head. Then the man slipped a collar and leash over Henry's head and said, Thanks for calling me, y'all. Before Mavis even had a chance to hug Henry goodbye, the man scooped him up and put him into the crate in the back of the van. Bye, Henry, Mavis called. Bye, Henry, Rose called. The man climbed into the driver's seat, draped his arm out the window, and gave Rose and Mavis a wave. Can we come watch him race sometime? Mavis asked as the van was backing away from the gatehouse. This one ain't racing no more, the man said. Then the van drove off, leaving a puff of black smoke behind it. Well, that didn't go as it was supposed to, did it? Maybe something else will happen that'll be good. Love you, girls. Good night.